Yep.
And all the ones with gratuitous nudity.
Nice.
That's a surprising amount.
By the way, nudity is never gratuitous. And mostly it's us naked. That's the best part of it.
Oh, I know it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I like
about
it.
Yeah, a lot.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
Hi, I'm Ian Boothby.
Welcome to the show. Oh, my God. I've done that so many times, and I just did it again. I promised myself I was going to be absolutely original from now on. And
let's start the show again. And three, like... two, one, go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
Bonjour.
Ah, bienvenue à show. Ah, see, I did it again, only in a different language.
All right, is that three, insane? Trois, deux, un, begin.
Hello, welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm David Dedrick.
That is original.
There you go.
That was great. You broke the loop.
Let me say something. Yeah. I don't know when you're putting this up on Saturday. Like sometimes you put it up late, sometimes you put it up early.
I put it up when I can.
All right. But if you put this up earlier enough in the day and you're listening to this on the 12th,
yeah,
you still got time to come to our 200th show.
That's true.
At Skinny Fat Jack's in the back of Slicky Jim's Chat and Chew in Vancouver. Our show begins at 9 o'clock. Doors are 8 o'clock.
Make a right turn at the Cat in the Hat.
There you are. And it's free. There'll be some prizes. We've got lots of guests. We've loaded up with like past guests, and they'll be doing what we've decided to do for this show is a series of pilots. We're going to do some podcast pilots.
Okay.
So should be fun. Some of the ones are spin-offs that you have asked us to do and said, why don't you do this kind of thing?
Yeah.
Now that you're done that kind of thing. And some of them we'll be doing and some of them we're just going to be making up.
Yeah. So we're going to show you why we're not going to do those things.
Probably. Speaking of spin-offs, we just wrapped up Totally Tintin.
That's right.
It's not wrapped up for you yet because the final episode comes out a little bit later this week. But we have done it. We have done it. It's over. We've graduated. Yep. Everyone's going back to school this week. I feel like we've just graduated from school. I've got my little Tintin quiff, and I'm throwing it in the air.
Yeah, I had a little wrap party after the podcast was done.
Oh, I wasn't invited to that.
I had chicken wrap. You saw that?
What's
wrong?
You know what? I know we've got little rituals on the show, such as if you hear a siren, take a drink.
Yeah.
If we talk about our past, you can take a drink.
Yeah.
If you hear me sigh... feel free to take a nap. Take a 5-minute power nap.
Is that right? Just turn off the show.
You just turn off the show. Go grab yourself down. A nice wolf nap, the kind that Leonardo da Vinci used to take.
Yeah.
Leads you to genius.
What do you call it? A wolf nap?
A wolf nap, yeah.
What does that mean?
It means a little short nap, really quick.
Why isn't it a cat nap?
Well, what's more genius, a cat or a wolf?
A cat.
That's what a cat would think. Anyway, take a wolf nap, 5 minutes.
A cat has fooled us into thinking that it likes us, and we let them into our houses and feed them.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they spend all the time, all of their lives outside,
right,
and only come to the door when they're hungry,
right,
we still feed them.
Okay. A wolf, though, can pretend to be a dog, get invited in, and then whenever he wants to goes, I was lying, I'm a wolf, and then just leaves. Does his business. Also, the wolf has weaseled himself into so many
grandma's
fairy tales.
Into so many grandma's nighties.
That's right. So many fairy tales. He gets into Three Pigs.
Okay.
He gets into, as you say, like a Little Red Riding Hood.
Little Red Riding
Hood. Sleeping Wolf. Wolfarella.
Sure.
All of those.
Yeah.
Frozen with Wolves.
Yep.
And the Lion Wolf.
The ballroom scene from... Beauty and the Beast.
There you go.
Dances with Wolves.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's 7.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's only 6. I only had 6 fingers up when I said it was 7. But I was keeping track as best I can.
And that's 70s porno, Deep Wolf.
Deep Wolf. Okay.
Yep.
Keep going.
The Howling.
That's an actual movie.
Sure.
Sky Wolf.
Are we actually doing wolves now? All right, Airwolf.
Isn't that the same?
Sky Wolf?
Is Sky Wolf Airwolf?
Well,
did I just get the name wrong?
Probably.
I thought it was Sky Wolf.
Why are you complaining to me about it then? I got it right.
Well, I thought I was right. And then you one-upped me by showing me that I was wrong.
The Wolfman of Alcatraz?
That's right. Very good film. Lon Chaney Jr.
Mm-hmm.
In prison for a crime he committed. It's weird.
And that's where that story goes. So, Dave.
Yes.
It is the start of the school year.
Mm.
You have...
My children are done school now.
They're done. They've yep. done their learning?
They've no longer... Well, I think so. They're going to university now, which that's I think we school. Think we've proven there's no more learning.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
But they're off at university.
Yes. My oldest daughter is in her third year of schooling.
Right.
And my youngest daughter is starting her first. She went for her first day yesterday.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. First day at college, big campus, lots of kids walking around.
Yeah.
Some of them smoking e-vapes or whatever they're called, those vaping things.
Sure.
You know, you're like, I bet you didn't see this at school. They didn't have these kind of nuts walking around with their vapes.
Let me ask you this question.
What are they called? This
yeah,
vapes?
That's right, vapes. Yeah, sure. Vapor, cigarettes, whatever they call them.
Yeah, I don't know what they're called either.
Well, first of all, two things. One, if you ever see in a movie in the future someone with like one of those vapes, you will know that it's basically 2015.
That's right.
This shit can't last, right? Like people just go, I remember that for a couple of seconds. We thought that was a thing.
Yeah.
Whew, not at all.
You know, have you ever seen someone smoking one?
Yeah, often.
I don't know. I don't like it.
It's a thing. It's not.
But it's not like they don't hold it like they're smoking a cigarette. They hold it like they're like surreptitiously playing a clarinet.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like they kind of hold it up. They have it clenched in their fist.
Right.
And they kind of bring it to the mouth and then they kind of puff on it.
I would just do a lot of bring me pictures of Spider-Man. And I'd be J. Jonah Jameson-ing.
But you'd have to clench it in your teeth and they don't do that. They don't actually leave it in their mouth.
I'd still clench it in my teeth. Here's what I wanted to ask you.
Expensive, I guess.
So when
you can't bite them.
When she was going to high school.
Which one?
Either. Okay. Let's go either. Was there a smoking area at the high school?
Yes. But I believe that it's off of the high school grounds, but there is an accepted area for kids to go and smoke.
Doesn't that seem strange to you?
That we went to school. When we went to school.
There was a smoking pit.
Not only was there a smoking pit makes it sound like it's an awful place. Where our junior high school, the smoking area, was the best place in the school. It was actually a courtyard in the school, like a nice plants, ferns, flowers growing with benches in it. And the kids would sit in there and they would smoke and no one else who...
No, this is junior high
if
school.
If you didn't want, yeah.
So you could not go and buy cigarettes legally.
No, you couldn't buy cigarettes.
You couldn't buy them.
Yeah.
But it feels like to me like it would be a drinking area. And it's like you can't buy alcohol.
Yeah.
But here's the nicest
area.
So
Katie got Blotto.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you've got a drinking area where you could drink.
It's
so
odd.
It never made sense to me that existed.
It seems
never
like...
never made sense to me.
But it seems like it's a
stupid idea.
No, it's a
death trap.
it's a
suicide rap. You got to get out while you're young.
Maybe we were born to rent.
Yeah, sure.
The thing about it is, I think it's a realistic approach to addiction. You know, like you can't stop these kids from smoking. They've got themselves addicted to cigarettes.
Now, do you
so give them a safe place to slowly
that's
die.
That's theory one. Okay. Now, my theory is theory two.
Can I just tell you one thing about the smoking area?
Please.
Because it was a cool place. And the smokers were considered cool by the smokers. The smokers thought they were cool.
Of course they did.
And I suppose through popular acclamation in the school, they were also seen as cool people.
All right.
Because, you know, like at high school, the girl who's like, there's girls who are beautiful, right?
Okay.
They're not necessarily beautiful, but they have decided they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. And everyone agrees with them for some reason. Like everyone kind of goes along with it. Either they're kind of mean and pushy and everyone goes along with it that way.
Right.
Or they're nice and kind of popular. Or kind of mean and popular, and people just go along with
it. Well, there's a sidebar here, which is that you've got teenagers whose hormones are kicking in for the first time, especially in junior high school, amazingly hardcore.
Sure.
So
but the thing is,
that is your biological beer glasses.
It doesn't, but the thing, I guess that's what it is. The thing is, there's beautiful girls that aren't seen as beautiful.
Right.
You know, like
well, apparently they think these ugly boys are also good looking. Those girls think that. And that's not true either. Everyone looks like a monster because you're a teenager of that age. So you're horrible looking. But again, nature has just gone, ignore all that.
No,
you all look
I disagree.
Great.
I disagree.
Okay.
As somebody who's done a lot of...
looking at junior high school girls.
A lot of badge making for graduations, for grad reunions.
I have no idea what that means. Badge making.
Yeah,
okay.
Badges. Don't know what that means, badge making. Could you explain that, Dave?
Well, you went from like, I'm trying to say that junior high school girls aren't that attractive, and you're going, look, I've done a lot of badge making. I don't know what that means. I don't know if you should be saying this
saying,
on the air.
Maybe, are you saying junior high school girls aren't attractive, or just any high school girls? So they got more attractive in grade 11 and grade 12? Is that what you mean?
I would assume so, yeah. As they get closer to being women, yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember them changing.
Guys, for sure.
I don't know.
Because you get less zits, you smarten up things. I mean,
grade 11 was my worst year.
You're a monster before then.
I know. Right? I was my grade 11 year. I looked like a pizza that someone threw up chili on.
Okay.
That was my complexion.
But to be fair, again, that's industry standard.
To make matters worse.
Right.
The most pictures in an annual.
Uh-huh.
The most pictures.
Sure.
I lorded it over the annual.
Right, because it was sponsored by Godfather's Pizza, and it was like a free ad every time you were there.
They're like, do you use Stridex pads? They kept asking. You remember, that's what they call it, right?
Yep.
Remember those pads that were incredibly caustic that we would rub on our faces to remove zits?
Yeah.
And
of course they didn't work.
I don't know why. Like every band picture I was featured in.
Sure.
There was a theme to have like a group of students kind of stretched along a wall, repeated throughout the book. Mm. I happened to be one of the classes that was chosen for that. So there I am, almost every page, me with other people standing in a row. And then...
You're fine. I'm sure you look
fine. I don't know what... The camera loved me that year.
Sure.
My face did not love the camera.
Let me just get back to the smokes. Now, there's two ways of looking at it. One, you can go like, look, they're going to smoke somewhere. We're going to keep them smoking where they're safe. That's one.
I didn't finish my story, by the way.
Please tell me your story.
I just want to say. So they're popular kids smoking.
Yep.
One day I was walking past. They were playing music in there.
Right. And you went by and whistled at the underage kids, as you normally do, going, you're looking good.
I was the same age.
Oh, back then. Okay.
This is junior high school.
Sure. All right.
There is no smoking.
This isn't recent.
They don't do smoking pits in the schools anymore. The smoking pits are off the school grounds.
Ah, interesting. All right.
So,
was it because too many guys were walking by going?
That's right. Too many wolf whistles.
Wolf whistles. There was another movie.
Another movie. So, I was walking past.
Right.
And they're playing some music.
Jazz.
It was the theme song to Taxi. I was like, yeah, that flute sound. Yeah.
They weren't playing the theme to Taxi.
Yeah, they were. I was like, what are they playing?
Not even the theme to Barney Miller.
Not even. That's right. At least that's kind of cool. That's right. Not the theme to SWAT. Like the theme to SWAT was a top 10 hit in its years. But no, it was just. And I walked by and I was just like, what? What are those cool people playing that? Weird.
And then you found out like one of them was actually Andy Kaufman in character.
That's right. Doing that ever since. Yeah. That's where he ended up.
Yep.
Still there. Smoking pit. Burns you junior secondary.
Okay. So that was the end of that story?
Yes.
Very good.
I thought it was a good payoff.
Sure.
And it's a true story.
No, I like the idea that kids are listening to the
I know. It's so
Taxi.
Weird. And the cool kids. Like they're not listening to Nazareth or somewhere like that, right? You know, this flight tonight or whatever. They're just like, do-do-do-do-do. Nope.
Who wants to hear the Bob Newhart theme song?
I walked by and I just thought to myself, I'm uncool? I don't believe it.
Yep.
I don't believe it.
Look at me, every page of the annual.
That's when I realized I was cool. I was a different
Nothing's cooler than being in the annual, guys.
Over and over again.
But no, here's what I'm asking you. You tell me. So, smoking pit.
Peaches.
They're saying it's better they smoke somewhere safe. Than like in the street, literally in the street.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Standing in the center of the street,
right.
Smoking
but
a cigarette.
Because you've got the smoking pit, doesn't that like start kids smoking? Because they're like, oh, this is where the cool kids are. If I want to like hang out and be cool, mm-hmm. I got to go to the smoking pit. So no, you start smoking. Yeah, I mean, they're starting with the idea that these kids are smoking anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe some are, but it seems like if that's the cool area.
They come out of grade 7.
You've now made your peer pressure area. You know, you've just put like searchlights on it and made it amazingly popular.
Well... I suppose yes and no, in the sense that I never thought of that as a welcoming place. And maybe you're right, I'm not cool, so
I wasn't cool either.
I never tried to bump my way into that group. Like that was not interesting to me at all.
No.
And you could look at those people and right away you knew through your nerddar that they were uninteresting.
It was just too much work. Like to me...
It's not that it's too much work, it's just what's the point of it?
Well, to me it was too much work, because I was like, I could either like try to...
To uphill a climb?
Yeah, it's like I could either try... And, you know, ingratiate myself into this group. Mm-hmm. Well, firstly, mm-hmm. junior high school, that would be impossible. But in high school, semi-possible.
Yeah.
But, or I could go in the evening to go do community theater.
Yeah.
And there were attractive girls there anyway who are doing stuff that I like.
Sounds,
and they're already in tights.
Sounds great.
And it's fantastic. And
sounds
they're
great.
They're amazing. And now, what's that? It's time for me to lift them? And we got to work on this musical number together? Ah, we're fine. That's way better. Easier.
See, I didn't have that option. But at the same time,
you never thought you had the option of musical theater?
No, I never did.
You were had a lovely singing voice.
Do I have a lovely singing voice?
Yes, I met you in choir.
Thanks very much. That's true. We met in an afternoon choir.
Yeah. Not because you wanted to be there, because you were recruited.
I was recruited.
The teacher went, hey, you.
Hey, Dave, you're easily malleable.
You were the first episode of Glee. The teacher went, Dave, you've got to join the choir. We might make regionals.
We need at least two men in the choir. Can you be one of them? That's how it went. Yeah.
And basically she's saying, and I think I'm not talking out of school here, but she went, we need the two manliest men in school to really beef up the testosterone in this thing.
And they said no.
Yeah, that's right.
So she came to us.
How about these guys? Like, hi. And so it's just two of us.
Yeah.
All I remember from that, this is my memory.
Okay.
Is, and maybe this is flirting and maybe it's not. But like,
when you put your hand on my knee?
It wasn't my putting my hand on your knee. The girl who was next to me was putting her hand on my knee and doing a little squeeze on the knee. So when I had to like sing a note, I was like, you know, and whether it was like Lionel Richie's Hello or something, I was like, hello. Yeah. And then she squeezed the hello. And Ian, stop laughing. And they just thought it was hilarious. So then other girls would go, this is funny. Yeah. We got to grab his leg as well.
Yeah.
Now, being a kid in high school, having a variety of girls grabbing your leg, not bad.
Yeah. You're like, I'd really react if you grabbed my inner thigh.
No, I would have passed out. That would have been in another dimension. You know, I couldn't have handled any of that business. That would have just been all forget it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was where I met you. You have a lovely singing voice, and I'm sure you could do the basic dance moves for certain things. You've never been in a musical, eh?
No.
Really? Okay.
No, I don't. I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't do. I'd melt. But
you wouldn't. Yeah, I didn't. You would melt?
Mm.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I mean, you can do. We're gonna do a live podcast. In 2 days, you're going to sit in front of a room full of people.
Yeah.
We're going to do comedy sketches. We're going to do different talks. They're going to be like just feet in front of you right there. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, I don't know, we've got a gentleman who's going to be singing a song. Maybe you'll have to sing a little bit in the song. Who knows?
Yeah.
But you would probably do that. You've appeared in his shows before, a variety of costumes.
Yeah.
You can do that.
That's true.
Why can't you do a musical?
I acted on stage completely naked except for underwear and angel wings.
So right, and he didn't want you to do that. He said, listen, full suit of armor. Went,
I have an idea.
I do my own thing.
Yeah, I said, I have my own costume. Yeah. I'll bring it.
How much am I getting paid? That's right. Fuck your notes. This is what I'm going to do.
Well, you know, I'm going to do all those things at that show.
Right.
Unless I faint before it starts, in which case I will do none of those things at that show. Well,
yeah, and I will too if a girl grabs my knee.
It's
out. Boom.
It's a lot different for me now. I mean, how I approach it now is a lot different than I did as a teenager.
How do you approach it now?
With extreme indifference, perhaps a studied indifference.
Wait, but, time out.
Mm-hmm.
Back in high school, everyone take a drink. Clearly, you should be drinking already. We would do lunchtime sketch comedy shows.
Yeah.
So we would gather and get a fair amount of people.
Yeah.
A shocking amount of people, let's say.
I know, it was amazing. Stupid.
Yeah, we rivaled the smoking pit.
That's right. What it showed was that how little there was to do at afternoon.
Sure, that's the way to like throw your ego out the window. So anyway, we'd have like a nice big house, and then you'd come out and you'd do all your silly shenanigans.
Yes. You did it too.
I understand that, but I'm not claiming
I wasn't alone in this, though. It was a group of us working together.
Do you think the musical is a one-person
show? Yeah, you're just by yourself on stage doing a solo. Like, you know, I'm 16 going on 17.
Oh, so it's just the Natsy.
Just
he's
the
got
Natsy.
His own solo
all
musical.
All by himself, yeah.
The Sound of Natsy.
For
1,000 years, something will be coming. Who's that Reich? Is it Reich number one? No, it's not. Is it Reich number two? No, it's the Reich. That's a lot of fun. It's the Third Reich. And I'm
it's
on.
The right Reich.
That's right. To see my girl. And she's 16. And that's not weird because I'm probably about 16 too.
He's a Hitler youth.
Yeah.
Isn't
it awful when... But I am glad that he never got a chance to be a Hitler old.
Yes.
All the Hitler youth getting up and being Hitler olds now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Hitler youth. I don't know what it is. I never felt nervous doing that.
Yeah.
It's
the same stage the musicals happened on.
I think because...
You did it with people that were in musicals.
I wouldn't say I was the producer of the show, but I would certainly say that I was sort of the main driving force of what we were doing. So I think I was so...
You were the Bob Fosse of us?
I was the Bob Fosse of us. Because, you know, I live to dance. And
dance to live.
And so, but you know, I was, you know, the show was like kind of, you know, I was pushing the show. You're backstage. You're like, okay, you guys are next or da da da. So you didn't think about it, right? Like, if I think I was doing a musical, I just
and then
would
we
be
all
me.
Went, "Who's this guy?" That's like, right. He's the Bob Fosse.
He showed up out of nowhere.
Shouldn't he be on stage? He's in almost every sketch.
Why wasn't he in rehearsals? I wasn't in every sketch.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
Name a sketch you weren't in. And there we go. Moving on.
I can't even think of any sketches that we did.
You can't think of any sketches that we did?
I think one that was like a pharmacist sketch.
Can you think of where you were a salmon? Can you think of
no,
that?
You reminded me of that one.
Okay.
But yeah, now you reminded me again.
Sure.
That was a good one. That was pretty good. I was pretending to do it. I was sort of like I was a poet or something like that, doing a poem about being a salmon.
Yep. Now here's what I liked. Something that you did in those sketches was you would make a series of signs.
Yes.
And so people would have signs like hanging over them, like from ropes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you'd flip them around and find out that they were like a car or something. And I'm like, that was very clever. And to this day, I think that's a clever thing to do in a sketch.
Yeah, I think we had a table and we'd flip the sign over and then the table said car.
Yeah. And it was like now it's a car. Yeah. People would have a good laugh. It was good stuff. Like, a high school audience.
Yes.
Are mean if they don't like what they're seeing.
Okay.
And we got through, and we had multiple shows. People came back.
Yes.
So there was something going on there, and I think you could easily have done West Side Story.
Okay.
You would have been a lovely Maria.
I could have done Maria.
Yeah.
America, is that her song?
America?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or is that a cast song?
I think there's a couple of people who sing that one.
I think Maria does I Am 16 Going on 17.
Sure.
Or how do you solve a problem like Maria?
Oh, I remember one sketch we did that was incredibly difficult, that in principle was a good idea, which was it was something to do with Donkey Kong. And so it was someone was playing Donkey Kong, and they had a good role. Because
Dave Trimble?
Sure. All the Donkey Kong person had to do was throw the barrels.
Yeah.
Now, the bad role was to be the barrels, because you had to roll all the way across the stage. Equally bad was to be Mario, because Mario had to do the Mario jump, which was the scissor kick jump, not landing on the human barrels that are going next to you. I think
was it just a concept thing that didn't really have a punchline?
Yeah,
everything. It didn't sound like it wasn't going anywhere. Your sketches always had great punchlines.
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't remember any of that myself. but yeah, I remember that was very tricky.
I did the Monty Python Peter out.
Yes.
I was very
I'm St. Peter and I'm out.
I'm out of here. No, I just mean I didn't, you know, I felt like, you know, like Python doesn't need endings for their sketches, so I'm not going to write endings for mine. Dave, you kind of need
And that's because Python wrote so many sketches with endings that they were like, let's do something different.
Exactly.
Not, we just never tried it.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the notes they don't play, man.
That's the thing you don't understand. You don't realize, like, Monty Python had already been performing in various guises for 10 years before they became Monty Python and had written tons of sketches that
had Frost Report
for their own reviews when they're in the Footlights, you know, and toured the world with their Footlights reviews, like went to Australia and America and Canada, and then, you know, did these actual like real shows with sketches that had beginnings and middles and endings, and they sang songs and blah blah blah. No, I just thought this is all they do. They don't need endings.
Yeah, I do like
that revolutionary.
I do like a punchline. I do like a good strong punchline.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, at the time, I would have probably argued, you know, against you on that point. But, you know, looking back on it, you know, it's understandable. When you're a teenager, you're imitating other things, looking for your own voice. So my points of reference as a sketch writer were SCTV and Monty Python. Those were the two shows that were like stood hands and feet and heads and tails above everything else, right? So this has gone a little bit off of the whole smoke pit thing.
No, that's okay. I like talking about sketches. Sketchers are like I'm still writing for the Irrelevant Show, and I recently listened to a podcast with Keenan Michael Keyes, I think is his name, is from Key and Peele.
Yeah,
and he did a really nice description of like what a sketch was and how it's basically like you got a scraper and you're scraping a painting and it's revealing underneath more aspects of it until you finally get the context, and the overall context is what usually pays off as your punchline.
Yeah.
So you play whatever the game of the scene is, which is your little back and forth, almost your who's on first situation, right? So it's like a little wordplay or something, or the two characters are really frustrated, like it would be the cheese sketch from Monty Python.
Sure.
And then the final bit is you get the extra reveal. I don't know what the reveal is in the cheese sketch, but you get the extra reveal at the very end.
It's a colonel coming in and telling them, and it's silly.
Yeah,
no,
probably. There was no strong ending. But the final thing is like, and now we reveal the reality that we're in that was different than what you expected.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that's an interesting way to write sketches. So I've been trying to write sketches like that lately. It's been an interesting challenge.
It is interesting. Yeah. What they call it, the blow is the final
reveal.
Right.
Yeah.
And no, that's, and yeah, when you listen to that, you go, oh, there's a real art to it. And, you know, something that I didn't pick up on as a kid writing sketches, because I was in the thrall of stuff that I liked. So I was writing in their style. Mm-hmm. I didn't have my own voice, you know, and probably I would say when we were writing for the, when we did that elections one, and that's probably like the last time that I
this
seriously
thing we
wrote
did for a local cable company. Yeah.
Yeah. And
it
I wrote,
it was a local election. Yeah. We did like we did a political show.
Yeah. I would say that was my own voice as a comedy writer. And if I'd continued on from there, I probably still would have been writing those kind of conceptual things that are making fun of the machinery of stuff, yeah, rather than, you know, and had a punchline and, you know, had an ending and, you know, those things that you need.
I really wish that we had a second city in Vancouver, you know, like they do in Toronto. It would be fun to have learnt sketch writing of that. I mean, I'd probably still write stuff that's in my style as well, but I like the second city style just for fun. Like, I like the blackouts. I like,
okay,
I like, and we never wrote blackouts. It was always like a full, every sketch was about 3 minutes to four mm-hmm. minutes.
Yeah.
And there's something now with Irrelevant, I'm trying to write more blackouts just as a challenge, which is like, this is all the gag is, so get okay. out, get out.
Yeah.
Like, did I ever tell you the one that I really like, the Second City one? It's about, well, there's two that are my favorites. One, and I'm going to ruin them both now for you.
Okay.
One is, it's a secretary and she's taking dictation. You can tell that this is from the 60s, right?
Okay.
Secretary taking dictation.
Yeah.
And she starts winking and she's like, ah, her eyes hurt. And it's like, are you okay? And she's like, I just got new contact lenses. And I'm like, oh, okay. And you just keep taking dictation. Like, ah, they really sting. It's like, I'm just going to take them out. And so she reaches in, she takes her contact lenses out. And then he says to her, Miss Jenkins, you're beautiful. All right, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
the other one that's my favorite is it's a guy who's got his arm wrapped around another guy. It's just like, we're almost home. I don't want to. We're almost home. I don't want to be. No, you really were tying one on there. But, you know, we're knocks on the door. The wife's at the door. Like, I'm sorry. I found your husband's, like, you know, dress in his wallet. He had a few, but he's, you know, he's there. I don't know. But we got him home safe and sound. And she goes, where's his wheelchair?
Yes.
Yeah.
Keenan Michael Keyes actually brought up that sketch on the podcast.
I love that sketch.
It's a good, yeah, good ones. And what's interesting about those is that they came out of improv.
Yeah.
So, you know, the joke was, you know, built into the, you know, they just kind of made it up and they're like, that's material.
I've done the after show a couple of times at Second City and it's fun.
Yeah.
The one drag for me on that actually is, that if you come up with a joke, it goes to blackout almost instantly.
Oh, really?
So you feel like, oh no, there's more to this. Oh, but that's okay. That's all it's going to be.
See, it's funny. Like, you say you would want it, but when you're in the situation where it's done, then you resist it.
Because
you like long form.
Well, no. Because to
them. You want a half an hour sketch.
No, because to them.
Cheeseburger, Pepsi.
They think this joke can only go to this distance. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh no, there's three more parts to this that you could do if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Ah, nuts. You know, it's like, again, if you're talking Who's On First, mm-hmm. ending Who's On First about a third of the way in, because like, we got it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, third base. The first time you say third base, wrap it up.
Yeah.
Done. And now it's done. And you don't keep building. You don't keep building.
Who controls the lights? Is it the technician who's making the decision or is it the director who's controlling?
I think
controlling?
There's a couple of people that can make the call.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's
they
a different.
Give a little signal to the, yeah, give a signal okay. to the technician who pulls it down. If it's like it is in Vancouver, the lighting technician does have, can also bring the lights down on a scene.
Does that feel comfortable that you're allowing a technician who's someone who's not necessarily.
It depends. If the technician is someone, because the technicians, at least in Vancouver,
are often drawn from the cast?
No, not drawn from the cast, but have had as much experience in improv as we have. Like,
okay.
We used to have one at Theater Sports, and she had been doing improv in Calgary and then came here, and she knew scenes as well as anybody else.
Yeah.
So might as well have her you know, pull it down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Were there any times that they came down that
absolutely.
You were mad?
Yeah, furious. Yeah. What's wrong with you? Oh, absolutely. And there's also been times where I was waving them down and looking at something else. Yeah,
yeah.
Just talking, having a conversation. It's like, pull it through. No. End it. And now we got to.
That must feel like a desert.
Yeah. Basically, you're like high-fiving on stage, like, done. So.
It's interesting that I could do sketch comedy pretty much, you know, in front of a school of peers, of people that some of them thought I was an idiot.
Yeah.
A
bunch of sexy 14-year-olds.
They were older than 14 when we were.
Yeah, you're right.
You were in grade 12.
I'm just playing up that whole.
You're grade
thing.
11. I was grade 12. But it's interesting. I could do that without. But as soon as I tried improv, I was too self-conscious for it, and I couldn't push myself forward anymore.
Mm.
And it might have just been me. I just was too lazy to want to continue with it. I don't know
if it's lazy. It's like with sketch comedy, you're so busy trying to memorize your lines that you don't have time to think about yourself on stage. Trying to like get to here, say this, over here, say this, that you can't think, I wonder if anyone here is looking at me. I mean, you can sort of hear the laughter, and the laughter is almost like you're a surfer and you're riding that wave and like, okay, take a pause because the laughs still keep going. Now it's starting to go down. Now we say it.
Yeah.
Wait for it. Mm-hmm. Everyone's a little quiet now. Good. But you're still so concerned about like getting your lines right. But with improv, you do have enough time to just go, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, that was the thing. And I wasn't thinking, oh, people are watching me. Maybe I was thinking that. It was more of I was watching me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was my judge. So I was looking at myself and just going, oh, Dave, you are really blowing the scene. Like, this is terrible.
Yeah,
sit down.
Maybe if you, I mean, one of the first workshops you were at, like Ryan Stiles was there and all this kind of stuff. And so I think like maybe it was almost too professional to go. It's like going in, like I'm going to learn some instrument. You go in and everyone's like a virtuoso. At least
Jimi Hendrix is going to teach you how to play guitar.
Yeah, he's there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're at one of your first workshops, and Ryan Stiles wasn't teaching, he was just hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you did like one or two scenes with him. And so, yeah, it can throw you off, right?
And if you don't have self-confidence, because in one scene I remember doing something that was kind of funny, but no one went with it. Mm-hmm. And so then you're hung out to dry, but you blame yourself.
Right.
You don't go, oh, I wish the other people who are in the scene with me. I don't know. It was a thing where we were in the Arctic and I pretended to be a god frozen in the ice.
Okay.
And I just got left out of the scene. I think no one knew what to do with it. Yeah. And I thought it kind of worked. And actually someone said after, they said, oh, that was a good idea. It was too bad. But at the same time you felt like, oh, you know, I just kind of got hung out to dry. Yuck.
It really becomes, really, if you care about like a scene, then you're really, it's really difficult. It becomes a numbers game and you got to go like, okay, did 1 in 10 work? Did 1 in 20 work? Okay, 1 in 20 work. Okay, now how am I doing now? 1 in 15 work?
Yeah.
Now 1 in 10 work. 1 in 5 work?
Mm-hmm.
1 in 5 is a pretty good average. Pretty good average.
But when we were doing it then, we were so in the moment that we never sat and talked about it as an art or as a theory or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like we just did it. And it was kind of sink or swim, you know. Too bad, Dave, you didn't make it so long. I'm in the boat.
Right.
But that's just how it is. That's fine, you know, because you're a young guy and you're going forward.
And I really didn't like living in Delta where I lived.
Yeah.
So any excuse for me to come to Vancouver was great. Yeah. So once a week, I could say to my folks, I'm going to take a workshop.
Yeah.
And they knew I was an actor.
Yeah.
And so I could go, I'm going to take an acting workshop. How much did it cost? $2. So long. You know, enjoy. You're paying for your own workshop. That's fine. We got no beef with that.
Yeah.
So I'd go, it would be an excuse for me to go downtown regardless.
Yeah.
So it was totally worth it for me. Like I liked hanging around beforehand. I liked hanging around afterwards, walking around the city.
Yeah.
Anywhere that wasn't Delta was great for me. So, you know, it was just a good excuse. And then coincidentally, it was at a theater that was just starting to kind of take off.
Yeah.
You know, people like, you know, Colin Mochrie and Ryan Stiles were just starting to kind of like, you know, take off.
There was
off.
A lot of talented people in Vancouver at that time. It was kind of, it's just one of those instances, like we were talking when we were on What's So Funny. We were talking about the Beatles, you know, and being in this sort of moment, which, you know, or we could talk about the Belgian cartoonists who, you know, suddenly there is this place for them. And so suddenly all this talent arises to fill this opportunity.
Yeah.
And same thing here, you know, you had this opportunity and all this talent sort of arose to fill this opportunity, you know. So you had, like you say, Ryan Stiles and Colin Mochrie and... And
if you walked outside, by the way,
Gary Jones,
he came a little bit later, but yes,
okay.
If you walked outside, you would see Mr. Noodle walking down the street because there's Mr. Noodle there, and Mr. Noodle was Soo Kyun Lee.
Oh, really?
Because her family like owned the Mr. Noodle place there, right?
Okay.
And so it's like, even she's there, but she's a mascot. And then if I was to describe, really break down who else was in the area at the time, you'd just go, holy shit, all these people.
Yeah.
And then so many people were coming to Theater Sports to see the shows or working, you know, at the counters or, you know, over the front of house or this, that, and the other. It just was remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, there weren't that many places to do things. So everyone kind of knew each other and it was just a thing. Because there was no hope of anything happening. There was no film industry in town.
Yeah.
Runaway was one of the first big ones that came to town and
And they filmed in Delta. So you're like, I'm not going back to Delta for that.
They did shoot a little bit here. It was Tom Selleck and Gene Simmons, and they shot at the Robson Square Media Center.
Oh, okay. They shot it in Sunshine Hills as well.
Yeah. And then, but there was nothing. And basically, you either worked on Beachcombers or you didn't work at all. That was the only gig in town. So the only reason to do something was because you loved it. And so people did it. And then it all just sort of caught fire for a brief period of time. Mm-hmm. And then the film industry came and it was its own thing. And now I don't know what it is now. I don't know what's happening now.
Well, it's atomized, so it's not as centrally located as it once was. Mm-hmm. There's lots of different groups doing lots of different things, so you don't have a sense of a scene the way you did at that time.
Right. I wonder if there is in the future, though, people will look back and just go, oh, what an amazing start to the video scene or something, like that's just starting to pop right now or something. I don't know.
There's
probably some scene of some sort that's starting right now that... Mm-hmm. You know, we'll take, and again, I'm not looking back on this as like singing, you know, every time I talk about this kind of thing, my friend Roger just starts singing Glory Days. And I'm like, no, I think things are actually better now than they were then. I as much as it's exciting to be at a workshop with Ryan Stiles, I love that he's got his own theater in Bellingham, basically, and he's got his own theater. That's just great. That's way better. And you could go and do a show there and you want to see him, you can see it. It's fantastic.
I wonder if someone as naturally talented as Ryan Stiles was a very good teacher. Like, what if he had trouble passing on? It's kind of like, say, Wayne Gretzky becoming a coach. You know, and it's hard. They say it's hard for people like that to coach because...
Though he coached a couple of big winning teams, right?
They didn't win at all, no.
Wayne Gretzky didn't coach winning teams?
No, not at all, no. The Coyotes did terribly when he was their coach.
Oh, crying out loud.
Because because it's hard for him. Like, he has this natural, intuitive understanding of the game. Uh-huh. You can't coach that. You know, you have to coach fundamentals to people to help them understand the game. And he didn't need that. He understood it in this sort of
preternatural. So you're saying when his dad was like teaching him when he was a kid, he was just like kind of just tapping into what was already there, do you think?
Yeah, yeah.
His dad wasn't a really super good coach or anything?
Who else did he produce?
Well, who else does he have to produce?
But that's true. But I'm just saying, you know, he made Wayne Gretzky, but Wayne Gretzky, you know, it's a kind of chicken and egg. Was he already there? Did he already have that insane hand-eye coordination? I mean, that's what he had was this massive hand-eye coordination. You can train it, but you can't teach it. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be there inside you to have those reflexes and sense, this ability to know where players are who are behind you that you can't see. But you know from... you know, studying and understanding the game that they'll likely go over this place. And so if I put the puck there, the percentages that they'll be there for it.
We can really get into an outliers thing here if you want it. you know, when you're talking about Gary Jones, who was like one of the more successful people with theater sports, he came during Expo because he was like...
He did? Oh, yeah, I didn't realize he was...
Yeah, because he was working out of the Second City, speaking of which...
That wasn't much farther on than the era that we were there, though. Maybe 2 years.
You're right. But he came from Toronto, and the Second City cast basically for physical type.
Okay.
So they cast like a big guy, you know, so they had Ryan, who was like a tall, goofy kind of guy.
Yeah.
And they had Gary, who was kind of the good-looking guy, and then they had kind of a big gal, and they had like a goofier-looking gal. And these are all, you know, people who are improvisers in town. So they all did the Second City show for Expo 86.
Okay.
And then at the end of it, Ryan, you know, Second City went, hey, Ryan, do you want to come to Toronto? And he was like, yeah, it's a paying gig. It's better paying than here. So he went to Toronto.
Yeah.
Later, Colin went over and they kind of jammed and kind of bonded from there and went on from there. And then Gary stayed here and it kind of set the tone for what we did here. And and they're on there forthwith and thuth.
Yeah, there's a lot of talented people who work there. It's true. I appreciated what they did. That's all I'll say. Now, back to your theory about smoke pits.
Okay.
What are we going to say?
Do you want to smoke right now?
Not really.
Okay. No, my theory is that you've basically set
never
up...
Never been tempting to me.
You've set up that the coolest area in the school is now the most peer pressure-y area of the school for smoking. And that seems to me to be just a bad idea. Like, if you're going to have a smoke pit, make it, like, kind of uncomfortable or something. Don't make it cool.
It is now because it's no longer... because of, you know...
Smoking laws.
Yeah, smoking laws. And just realization that we really can't be... we shouldn't be... sort of countenancing smoking by allowing them to smoke in the school grounds.
I just don't understand how you can, as a school, allow kids to do something they're not legally allowed to do.
That's the thing, yeah.
They're not legal.
Well, that's what people said, and they went, okay, yeah, you're right. We better move it off.
But that happened for like a decade at least.
For hundreds of years. And
I don't think for hundreds of years.
Yeah, hundreds and hundreds of years. The cavemen, when they went to school, the cavemen smoked, had a smoking pit. In fact, that's where the smoking pit comes from.
By the way, do you want to?
It's from the days of the cavemen when they actually had pits.
The easiest class in school for the cavemen was history.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Basically, like,
so
what
sure.
What happened this morning?
So
that.
Sure.
Done. You got an A.
Well, English was easy for them too. Didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in those days, it was a smoking quarry was what they used.
Yep. Smoking was just inventing fire. That was what that class was.
That's right. That's all. That's why the gods got so mad when he invented smoking. They're like, no, you've caused cancer. Way to go.
I'm going to tie you to a rock and have an eagle pillow.
Whatever
your
name
liver.
Is. I can't remember your name.
Prometheus.
Prometheus. Thank you.
All right. Now, you wanted to talk about something on the show today.
I want to talk about smoking pits. So I'm glad we covered it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We've moved on from there. But there was something you were talking about in
okay.
the... Okay.
I'm gonna read you a... Gee whiz.
Dave, there's no need for that sort of language.
My chargers are all not working very well.
Okay.
Okay. This is something I found on Facebook this morning. When I woke up this morning,
sure.
This was on Facebook.
Your wife said, let's talk. And you went, honey, I'm going to go to Facebook.
It was something that someone shared that someone else wrote.
Okay.
And
can you say what site it was on Facebook?
It's not from a site. It's just from a person.
Just a person.
Writing this right. thing. So this is how it goes.
Okay. Do you want to sing it like it was a musical?
I just might.
All right.
No.
Some say Facebook.
Is like a rose. Two young ladies arrived to a meeting wearing clothes that were quite revealing their body parts.
Okay.
I'm going to read it as written.
Okay.
This is written by a person who, I don't know
dictated
what.
Dictated but not read.
They took caveman English.
Okay.
Here is what the chairman told them. He took a good look at them.
Wait, there's a chairman?
There's a chairman.
So wait.
It's not James Brown.
Okay, wait a second.
It's not the chairman of the board.
This is a business
it's
meeting?
It's not Frank Sinatra.
Is this a business meeting?
Yeah. They arrived to a meeting.
Okay, and the chairman's at the meeting.
The chairman's in the meeting.
And they're wearing revealing clothes.
Clothes that revealed their body parts.
Yeah, okay, all right. I don't think it would reveal the lotto numbers.
Here is what the chairman told them.
Sure.
He took a good look at them and made them sit. Then he said something that they might never forget for the rest of their lives. Don't laugh. This is serious, man. He looked at them.
Wait, Dave. Yeah,
yes.
Will I not believe what this chairman said?
You will not believe what happened next.
Okay. I'm going to go, by the way, I'm going to the fishing store. Do you want me to pick you up some worms and some clickbait while I'm there?
Sure.
All right. Please continue.
He looked at them straight. This doesn't take you to a website.
He
it's
looked
right
at
on
them
Facebook.
Straight in the boobs.
He looked at them straight in the eyes
okay.
and said, ladies, everything that God has valuable in this world is well covered and hard to see, find, or get. One, where do you find, capital, diamonds? Deep down in the ground, covered and protected. Two, this actually is numbered. Where do you find pearls? Deep down at the bottom of the ocean, covered up and protected in a beautiful shell. Number three, where do you find gold? Way down in the mine. Way down in the mine,
okay.
covered over with layers of rock. And to get them, you have to work hard and dig deep down to get them. He looked at them with serious eyes and said, your body is sacred and unique. You are far more precious. It's weird. Your body is sacred and is in quotations. The rest of it isn't, but I'm assuming it's still him talking.
Okay.
You are far more precious than gold, diamonds, and pearls, and you should be covered too. So he added that, if you keep your treasured mineral, just like gold, diamond, and pearls, deeply covered up, a reputable mining a reputable mining organization with a reputable mining organization with the requisite machinery will fly down and conduct years of extensive exploration. I'm sorry, this
Please
is
continue.
too stupid. Okay. We'll fly down and conduct years of extensive exploration.
Right.
Then he said, first they will contact your government (family). Sign professional contracts (wedding), and mine you professionally (legal marriage). But if you leave your precious minerals uncovered on the surface of the earth, you always attract a lot of illegal miners to come and mine you illegally.
Well, we can't have sex with miners.
Everybody will just pick up their crude instruments and just have a dig on you just freely like that.
Right.
So.
And then they'll go, gold, gold, I got me some gold. It's a metaphor for breasts.
So keep your bodies deeply covered
right.
so that it invite professional miners to chase you.
Uh-huh.
The end. Oh, and then there's a picture of some women in revealing party dresses.
Who didn't show up at the board meeting
yes,
like that.
They did not dress like that for the board meeting.
Okay. What you don't see is that the chairman had his dick out the whole time.
What I like best is after that comes one person says, geez. Another person says, the other person says, shared. The last one says, wow, name. Excellent word. You already have 80 shares.
In what? A gold mine? I guess that's so. Actually ass.
I just
listen, everybody.
When I read that this
please
morning,
bury your butt yeah. deep in the earth.
Deep in the earth.
And until the right man comes along who mm-hmm. can frack you.
Who can frack you professionally. You don't want a bunch of illegal frackers right. coming around and fracking you up.
No, you want someone to pay you,
you want,
to be yeah. fracked.
You want to be fracked properly.
Right. Here's the thing. So yeah, diamonds, pearls, and yeah, God has hidden all the valuable things on mm-hmm. earth.
Yeah.
Like human love. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like babies, mm-hmm. like the sky.
This was a
like
chairman
sweet,
talking.
Like sweet, sweet air.
Yeah.
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 What, was this a mining company, by the way?
Yeah, probably.
Oh,
the chairman
boy.
Was a little fixated. I just,
by
just,
the way, here's
I enjoyed that this morning, and I enjoy. Sure.
Could I do the next day though? Here's the next
okay,
day.
Sure.
All right, so you're the chairman.
Okay.
Okay, you're in your office.
Sure.
All right.
Come in.
Hi, I'm Human Resources.
Yes.
Man, have you got a lawsuit? Woo! I can't even tell you, brother. Woo! Oh yeah. Man.
What did I say? I just said that.
I'm saying it's
those girls should have miners crawling all over them illegally.
I'm saying it's going to cost you a lot of diamonds. It's going to cost you a lot of pearls, and it's going to cost you a lot of gold.
But they're so deep in the earth. How will I get them out?
I don't know. But while you're there, why don't you go see if you can find some women's parts, who apparently.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's a weird one.
Oh, but here's the thing. Here's the thing at the end, and they go like, yeah. And hey everybody, that chairman was a woman. You know yeah. why?
Because
you're the
next.
Sexist.
Yeah.
Because you were picturing it as a bald man,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Bald
I
fat
was.
Man.
He looked like Lee
that's
Iacocca.
That's why you're the sexist.
You're right, I am the
He's
sexist.
He's not, because it's a she.
It's funny when you say that I hear the sexiest.
Right.
But that's okay.
And what you don't understand mm-hmm. is they were both wearing outfits with swastikas on them. So, hey, who are you
well,
defending?
It was showing
a couple
their,
of Nazis.
No, it was showing their tattooed swastikas. That was the body parts that were
right.
being shown. My phone is telling me this. I have it plugged into my computer and plugged right. into a power thing, and it's still telling me, Dave, I'm dying.
Dave, I don't care Dave. For that Facebook post.
Dave.
That actually does sound Dave. Like so many Facebook posts. That
well,
I've...
it's so condescendingly awful. Like,
yeah, well, every
it's
one
as if
of
it doesn't
is.
Exist in the real world. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed that. I also enjoyed its awkward wordplay.
What's its awkward? Oh, the awkward wordplay
yeah.
of that, yeah.
Yeah, just the fact that it's the person was unable to write English.
There's,
I don't know why.
There's
They're English speaking, I assume.
And I keep talking to global news about this. But
you talk to them?
Via
or are they
the,
phoning
via
you?
Via the Facebook.
Oh, okay.
In 2010.
What an American.
In 2010. Mike McArdle.
Yes.
Who was, have I told you this story before? Mike McArdle was doing one of his pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Who, and I believe in 2010, I used to do a Mike McArdle bit on
oh, okay.
as a sketch, which was just like, you know, anything is just like, and, you know, people don't talk about the good things.
Yeah.
They don't talk about the men picking up litter. And this man who's picking up litter turns out, oh, he's just picking up pornography. Oh, he's going to the bushes. But still, a man picking
yeah.
up litter. Anyway.
Sure. People might not know who he is. He
but
is
they know
a local
the type
news guy.
Of,
yeah.
They know that type
Author
of story.
Author of the book McArdled Milk.
Yeah, if you've seen the McArdle before the horse, and so on and so forth. Anyway,
yeah.
his deal is he tells, you know, the story that's a touching story about the
yeah.
kid who's trying to sell a thing because he thinks. So anyway, so he's doing a bit, and he's doing it in a parking lot. And in the background, a guy has eaten some McDonald's food, and he has taken the bag, and he's thrown it out his car window onto the ground.
Yeah.
Well, Mike ain't having this.
Yeah.
So Mike goes up to the guy
yeah.
and is like, you know, how can you do this, and how can you do that? And he's being sarcastic with the guy, and they're getting in his face. You know, which, okay, fair enough.
Sure.
But the guy is Asian, and it seems like he's Chinese, and his English is okay. It's, you know, but definitely from a little bit different place.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's trying to get away from crazy man with camera.
Yeah.
Right? So it ends with the guy driving off, and Mike grabs the garbage and throws it through his back window. I
yeah.
think there's people in the car.
Okay.
And off they drive, and
yeah.
that's the story. So they aired that on the news that night. This
yeah.
is 2010.
Okay.
Okay. So this thing shows up on my Facebook, I'd say twice a month.
Really?
Twice a month? Someone links to it?
I've never seen it.
Okay, and here's what happens.
You have the wrong friends.
Here's what happens. If you click on it, you see this.
Yeah.
And then underneath is the biggest barrage of racism you've ever seen in your life. It's not, you know, there's a couple of people just like, you shouldn't litter. No one should litter.
Yeah.
Shame on him for littering.
Yeah.
You know, it's all, you know, they should go back to their own country. This sure. is the problem with immigration.
They should go back to their own litter.
Yeah, there's, this is why they live in filthy land and we live in beautiful town. Yeah. Like, it's a horror show of just pure grandpa at the dinner table racism.
Yeah.
So I've written a couple of times and just gone, hey, guys, either take this down or trim the racist hedge a couple of times and take these things down because I know
yeah.
you can.
Yeah.
So they go, oh, yeah, we're on it. We check it. And they're like, okay. And then, like, and again, I'll go back and there'll be a new slur of just a slur of slurs.
Yeah.
You know, there's and
a
the
flurry
most,
of slurries.
That's right. You just yeah. go, like, listen, everyone, you've got your face. It's Facebook, man. Yeah. This yeah. isn't even YouTube. This isn't YouTube where it's just like, you know, cock knocker 65, right? This is like actual name of person. And you can click on it and go to their Facebook page and see where they live, their town, where, and their job. And they got pictures of them with their kids. And they're doing the most hateful racial slurs you've ever seen in your life there. And like, how do you do this? How do you not? Oh, it's the worst. It stuns me.
They don't understand.
And yeah, I just keep going back to global every so often and just go like, well, there's a fresh batch. You might want to just trim it up. Trim it up. And I'll give them a couple of the best ones and just go, how about this, that, and the other, huh? How is this not a hate crime, you jackass? And yeah. And also, you know, the whole thing, I get it. But this is a guy who littered
yeah.
in 2010.
Yeah.
When we're talking about like the public shaming and how you got to like ease up a bit.
Mm.
You know what? 5 years of him being called every racist name in the world. Maybe that's enough for like throwing a bag on the ground. Maybe we're done. That's just me. And that's my rant of the day.
I agree.
And Dave, a rant a day. Keep anyway.
That's exactly it.
That's the way I see it from my eye view. I'm Ian, whose name begins with an I.
I got it. We all got it. Thanks.
And now the day to D with Dave D.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Pretty amusing story there, Mike.
What's going on in sports, Dave?
Well, sports today, it's hilarious what's happening. Canucks lost, BC Lions lost, Whitecaps lost, and the, I was going to call them the, yeah, doesn't matter.
Dave!
I can't remember the name of the baseball team, everybody.
If you had to marry one quarterback, who would it be?
Tom Brady.
Mmm, then you'd be the Brady Bunch.
He's handsome.
Yeah, yes. Tom Brady, pretty good. Might as well. Why not?
Well, you asked me.
I know.
I'm going to say
I
it.
Did. I'm going farther with this. It's good stuff. Now, would you change your last name to Brady?
Sure.
So you'd be Dave Brady?
I'm not that happy with my
Dave,
last name.
Would you be David Brady or Dave Brady?
David.
David Brady?
David Brady sounds
pretty
better.
Pretty good name.
Yeah, it's a great name.
I'd buy real estate from
it's
you.
It's 100 times better than stupid David Dedrick. Dumbest name ever. Hate that name.
Well, no. The dumbest name ever would be David Duh. That'd be the dumbest name ever.
It's kind of pretty close to that. Pretty close. David Dedrick.
You know what might make you cooler, Dave, is if you
sunglasses?
Smoked.
Sunglasses? Oh, smoked. You know, have you ever put a cigarette to your lips?
Yep.
Yeah, I never have.
In college, because here's why. Girls were smoking, and they would say to me, I'm going to go for a smoke. Do you want to come with? Yeah. And I wouldn't smoke. I would just have it with me and like, huh? What? Huh? Let's talk. Let's keep talking because you're pretty, and I like talking to pretty girls. Yeah, I know. Right? What? Why isn't your cigarette going down, Ian? Why is it maintaining the same length through this whole time?
What's up with the 24-foot length of ash?
Yeah. What's up? What's up with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I remember when parents were less cautious than they are now. My mom would stop her car, leave it running, go into my aunt's house to talk to her for a minute, and leave her cigarette burning in the ashtray of the car.
Right.
And my brothers would invariably, take it and put it in their mouth.
Right.
And we're like six.
And go, look at me, I'm a mom.
Yeah, we're like like little kids. It was just disgusting to me. I couldn't even stand the idea of it.
Yeah.
So I don't think I was.
Did either of your brothers smoke?
Yes, both of them.
Ah, there you go.
I wasn't born to be a smoker.
There you go.
Yeah. I went with my dad's side.
Which was?
Non-smoking.
Be a broadcaster.
Be a broadcaster. That's right. All the way, Dad. Yeah. No, my dad quit when I was very young.
Mine too. My dad used to smoke and then
he
quit.
Did he go, did he go through a bad tempered time?
Yeah, I think.
Lasted the rest of his life.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. See, my dad... my grandmother did as well. My grandfather didn't. But his anti-smoking thing for me was coughing a couple of times an hour. With like one of those long, bad, deep coughs.
Kind of wet coughs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The coughs that just go all the way, you know, to another province.
Through the lungs.
Yeah. Like a duck comes out from his throat and just flies away. I'm just like, I don't think I want to smoke.
Yeah, it's weird. My dad didn't even say he was quitting. He just stopped. And one day, because I used to like to look at, I think he bought Cravenay cigarettes and had a little cat in a box on the, like a cat's or a kitten's face or a cat's face in the box. And I used to like to look at that.
Right. Because I think the box said, this will get you pussy.
Subtly. Said very subtly. And so I was looking, I would look at it. And one day I realized I hadn't looked at it for a long time and it wasn't there to look at.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, Dad, where's your cigarettes? And he said, oh, I quit. And we were all like, bong. Yeah, I quit for quite a while. Explained his chewing gum habit that he developed. Mm. But he never really got moody or anything. I don't like it. It wasn't like a noticeable drop in his, you know, it wasn't more or less.
I think my dad realized that it was a bad example. And so he was he quit. And I think also the wet coughs from my grandpa, you know, that's no good.
That scares you.
Yeah, you can. I mean, again, I'm an adopted kid, right? So
yeah.
I think it's a little different when you're when you see the person who sired you, who looks somewhat like you.
Yeah.
You really do get the idea of this is an older version of me.
Yeah.
Hello, future. Let's change a couple of things before I get to that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. My grandpa didn't smoke. My dad did
end up with cancer, but a different kind of cancer. Mm,
yeah. Seems unavoidable these days.
We'll see.
Huh.
I hope not. I hope there's, I've heard there's some advances lately, but then there's always been some advances. So, you know, knock on wood.
In bladder.
Wait a second. I got to get that. What? Human resources? Well, how does that even? Okay, I'll talk to you later. But anyway, back to bladders.
We shouldn't have opened a mining company.
Yep. I'm just digging for sweet, sweet vagina.
That is very valuable and very deep in the mine. So valuable. You got to dig deep for that. Sweet, sweet. I love that song by Neil Diamond.
Sweet vagina. Bomp, bomp, bomp. Good times never felt so good.
Sweet vagina.
Bop, bop, bop.
I'm not doing this anymore. Okay, continue. Stop there because that's terrible.
Back to your bladder talk.
No, I think it was bladder cancer. It was one of them, right? Didn't they just make a big advance?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Yeah, which is exciting.
Absolutely.
Because organ cancers, like when you hear someone has an organ cancer, you're like, oh boy.
Yep. Nope,
that's not.
Yep.
That's what took my mother-in-law, you know. And that was a person that you just thought would never stop. Because she, you know, like I know that she went for some heart tests and they could not get her heart to accelerate. Like she was on the machine. They're just like, what are you, like a mule? Like they just could not get her to.
Yeah, seems a mean thing to say to somebody.
But she was such a worker bee, you know. Yeah. And like she would walk every day. She'd go for like a long walk. And then she did all, you know, cleaned all the fields and took care of all the horses. You know, she was just a real, you know, plus made me cookies and did all the rest of the stuff that's important. You know, and so.
What type of cookies? Let me ask. Just a.
Chocolate chip. Nice. With little bits of, I don't know what she put in. These little crunchy things in them that were good. I don't know what they were. Maybe chow mein, like broken up chow mein noodles.
I know
it sounds weird, doesn't it? But it was good. Okay. It's good. Something like that. But anyway,
I have a family that's half Chinese, and that is never happened.
Well, what can I say? I'm from a family that's half Scottish, and we're all about chow mein and the chow mein noodles.
Yeah,
broken up.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm just guessing. I don't know exactly what they were.
Okay.
That's what it seemed like.
All right.
She was like this, I don't know, just like this superwoman to me, anyway.
Yeah. Nice.
And then. She got in a car accident. She was driving down the road, and this two boys ran a stop sign into the side of her car.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Which is bad, but then they pushed her off the road, and so she went like full speed into a telephone pole. And that after that, she was just never the same. Like she would get pneumonia every year.
Yeah.
And they saw something on the x-rays, but they kind of ignored it because they thought it was just bruising from the seatbelt. Mm-hmm. And then later... she was found to have cancer, but she was the kind of person, like she was going for operations and stuff like that, but she never told us why. You know, it wasn't until like near the end that she goes, I have to tell you guys that I have cancer. It's inoperable and they've given me 2 weeks.
What the fuck?
And that was basically, yeah, that was like, what? Like what? Why didn't you give us a hint?
Did she know before that?
Yeah. Time? Yeah.
And she was just waiting for, okay. Yeah.
I think she either wanted to give us good news or bad news. And so when she got the ultimate bad news, that was what she gave us.
2 weeks.
Yeah. And they were accurate. Like when they told her 2 weeks, they meant it. Like, yeah, it was right to the day.
Here's a weird question. I do want the rest of your story. Do you think when someone is told, okay, say, how long have I got? You got 6 months. Do you think there's something inside of them that just goes, okay, 6 months? Do you think there's something, like, I know they're guesstimating, right? Mm-hmm. But do you think there's something inside of you that just goes, all right, 6 months?
Yeah.
And I wonder how often it is the time, that they're correct.
Yeah.
Like, if there's part of you that just goes, 2 weeks, got it.
Okay.
Okay, so in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop trying, but I know I've got 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of a week, you're not like, I'm gonna die now. You know,
could be that, or it, also they've just seen it so often they know where you are.
Yeah, they know generally where it is,
and generally how much longer it's gonna take.
It just
seems,
it feels like it's a stereotype for someone to go like, oh, 6 months. It's always 6 months.
Because I mean, you basically, I mean, I know with my mother-in-law that basically, you know, well, she put up with the pain as long as she could.
Yeah.
Like she knew that she didn't want to be on morphine because she knew that that would be it for her. Because she was a nurse, so she knew exactly what she was going to go through, right? And I often wonder if nurses are like one of the worst patients you can have.
Oh, I could see that. Because they the worst of everything, yeah.
And so they're coming into it with a pessimistic view of it, you know? They're not optimistic because most of their experiences are on the negative side of things, right? You know, I'm a miracle story of a cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm my story. And when my mother-in-law got cancer, I was like, oh, that's fine. You know, like I survived.
Right.
She's strong.
Genetically,
she'll be fine.
We've got somewhat of the same background.
Yeah, yeah. And no, you know, and so many people after I had cancer died of cancer. My grandma, my mother-in-law, your dad.
Yeah.
You know, like it just seemed like this constant stream of people, and you're like, this is terrible. Like, what's my? But you know, my attitude originally was just like, well, I survived. I'm not special. Like, so other people can do it.
Right.
You know, but it just seemed like after that, like, okay, this actually the survival rates are quite a bit lower than I thought. And I always kind of wonder if her attitude was kind of like, yeah, it's over. Yeah, they said it's done. So, you know, but she, like I say, I mean, because she wanted to be there with the grandkids as long as she could. I remember her saying to us, her biggest regret was that Eve wouldn't remember her because Eve was 3 at that time. So there's just no way that, and then, yep, she just, until it was too much. And then we had this big, like a big bottle, like the size of like a Coke, like a small Coke bottle of liquid morphine to give her. And that's what we had to give her at when she requested it. And once that happened, then she was gone. Like she's just basically in a stupor.
How much would she drink of the liquid morphine?
I'm not too sure how much she had, actually. I didn't administer it. But, you know, I think she kind of self-administered to take away the pain.
Right.
You know, and we can't begrudge her.
Of course not.
Wait, don't take too much. You might get addicted to it now.
Yeah.
It's like, no, take as much as you can to, you know, be in comfort. And so she did.
And I think there's a little bit of something like, and if you take too much, it's not the worst thing in the world because that'll take
it's the best thing in the world.
It'll take it quicker.
Yeah. When my grandma was in the hospital and she'd been going through cancer and she finally went in and they said, you know, we can just kind of take her off this and give her a lot of that and just let nature take its course. And my mom and my aunt were there and said, yep.
That was the same thing with my grandmother. Yeah. Basically, she was completely gone.
Yeah.
And that was what it was. And then it just became a waiting game that day. Mm-hmm. We just waited all night and
just
now gone.
Let nature take its course.
Yeah. And we just like told her stories and just talked to her. And
yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing what you can, it's amazing what as a person you can be there for and absorb. And you think like, if you were to describe that, you'd go, I can't take that. It's like, but at the time you do because you are. And then.
We were so lucky that her sister came from England and she had worked in care, you know, so she was able to help us with a lot of stuff like bathing and things like that, you know, that are hard to do as a daughter of your, it's hard for a daughter, you know, for your,
absolutely,
to wash your mom in a bathtub.
Absolutely. Like that. Yeah. That's not something that you normally connect with. Yeah.
And she died at home. So that was, I think, nice for
that's
her.
Also good for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were going to say something about the funeral. Was there something?
Oh yes. My grandma died,
Is this your other grandma?
This is a different grandma, yeah. She just recently died. This is my mom's grandma, who I spent a lot of time with in my life.
Mm-hmm.
We went over there almost every Sunday for dinner. She would always make a Sunday dinner. I loved to go to her house on Saturdays because she would watch All-Star Wrestling. And I loved to watch All-Star Wrestling with her. And she watched Roller Derby, which it's a weird thing about grandmas of that generation that they like to watch the most violent shows unimaginable. But that's where I first saw Rowdy Piper was...
Yeah.
He wrestled here in Vancouver, in Cloverdale at the Cloverdale Fairgrounds for All-Star Wrestling. And, you know, with
not to be too
audience of 25.
So she liked roller derby. She liked wrestling.
Yep.
Okay. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I got to just tell you this much. All right. And I don't want to bless your grandmother.
Sure.
Bless her.
Yep.
It's pretty sexy. And if you're in an age where sex is not an option.
Okay.
What's the best thing for you? Well, there's two guys. What are they doing? They're shirtless. They're jumping on each other. They're all covered in oil. They're just rolling around.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Okay, how about, what else you got? I got girls in there in short shorts. They got helmets. What's happening? They're ramming each other really hard and just going, and they're flipping over together. What's that? That seems like something. It's sort of the same thing that like a 10-year-old would be watching and go like, I like this. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
But because
I said that a lot.
Because all the bits are, because all my bits aren't kicking in yet. But I know this is good for something.
Yeah.
So anyway, but continue.
Or you might just enjoy the sport.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
So, but you know, so she took us, you know, took me on fishing trips and took me to a movie one time. I don't know why we went and saw Grizzly Adams.
All right.
She took me home, didn't say a word to me. I went to bed, read my Elvin Ferrell. Was that the guy's name? The greatest inventor of the world. Elvin Ferneld?
I don't know.
Anyway, there was a Super Weasel, I think was the book that... anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, guys.
Just interests me with this Grizzly Adams thing. That sounds pretty cool.
Grizzly Adams? You don't remember that?
Oh, I do. It's pretty cool.
It's a terrible movie.
Yeah, it was fun, though. You're a kid. You're at the movies. Who cares?
Yeah, it was good. It was weird, though.
You get soda and popcorn. Who gives a shit what you watch?
I guess that's true, but I was so confused. It was like...
You might get candy.
My grandma has never asked me to do this before.
Mm-hmm.
She's taking me to see Grizzly Adams.
Yeah.
Then we're going to go home. She's not going to talk about it with me. She's not going to say, what do you think of that film? Pretty good, wasn't it? Didn't say anything like that. We just drove home.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, time for bed. So I went to bed.
Yeah.
Read my book for a while. I turned off the light, went to sleep. I think because we went with some friends of hers as well. And so she talked with them.
Ah.
I was just an appliance, you know, something that was stuck on the side of the car.
Right.
And then, you
know. Also, this will shut you up for 2 hours.
I guess that was part of it.
Can't talk in the movie theater.
And so, you know, it's weird. Like, so I, you know, my grandma was a big part of my life, but I never knew her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never knew her. It wasn't until I was older and she was much older that she kind of was more revealing of herself, like her sense of humor and stuff like that kind of came out more.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like going over to her house and talking with her, with Lisa, and she would talk to us like two adults rather than just ignore us like we were kids. And that was different. You know, that was a different experience. But we didn't make it over there as much as I should have, or as much as I wished we had. And then it got to the point where I remember this was a very weird experience, very weird, because she was my grandma. And we went to a home where she had been moved into a home with her husband, who was my step-grandfather. And they both had separate rooms. And so we got there, we got to the home, and it was actually Lisa, myself, and then Mary and Eve, who were much younger then. And we went in, and we got into the elevator, and my grandma got in, like the next floor. And I'm like, fancy meeting you here. And she didn't say anything to us.
Yeah.
She just kind of nodded at us, like turned. And then we got to her floor, and then she got off the, and then we started following down the hallway. And then she's kind of looking over her shoulder at us. Like, I was thinking, uh-oh, does she know who we are?
Mm.
And she's walking along, kind of looking at us. Then she got to her room, and we stopped because, you know, we were going to go in with her.
Yeah.
We've been there before. She opened the door, went inside, closed it. And we're standing out in the hallway. So awkward. I just left.
Yeah.
I didn't want to knock on the door. And
oh, absolutely not.
Just go back in the, let's... there's a 7-Eleven, Lexner. Let's go get some Slurpees. Let's have a celebration Slurpee, everybody.
Yeah.
And that was like the last time, that was when she stopped knowing me. And when it stopped seeming important that I see her, because she didn't know who I was.
That's right, yeah.
I was just visiting this person who was kind of cranky and liked to swear. And, you know, it just kind of didn't become any fun anymore. So about 4 months short of 100 years old, even less than that, actually, maybe 2 months short of 100 years old, October. Yeah, three or four months short. So pretty close to 100, she died. And my mom, against my aunt's wishes, decided that they were going to cremate her, which was her wish to be cremated, that's fine. But then they thought, well, we'll bury her with their dad, not with the step-grandfather, but with the original grandpa.
Okay.
Because that was their dad.
Okay.
So, and...
she didn't have any wishes
she did not have any wishes in that regard. So they divided the ashes. Some would be spread. Like, his ashes were spread. There was no place to put them with him.
Right.
So they separated some that would be just sent into the world to join his, floating about wherever ashes go. And the rest would go into the ground with my grandpa. So that's fine. So, you know. So the first thing that was weird, of course, is being my mom, passive-aggressive control freak, didn't call me to tell me when the funeral was. So it's getting to the point where I'm like, okay, well, I didn't see anything in the paper, like an obituary announcing the death. So I phoned her I said, well, when is the, just wondering when the funeral's going to be. And she goes, oh, we already had it. And then you just feel like your whole gut just goes like, gah. I said, well, when? And she goes, oh, I'm just joking. Actually, it's going to be 2 weeks from now.
That's pretty great
joke. Yeah, so, just like
I got a book full of funeral funnies, yes. And that's one of them.
So yeah, then my stomach had sank a bit. Now it sank even more. Just the idea that that's a great joke to my mom. This sort of weird control freak power trip that, you know, she's going to scare me with the fact that I missed my grandma's funeral.
Right.
So rather than say fuck you, I said, no, seriously, when is it? So then she told me. But what she didn't tell me is that they were going to have it outside.
Okay.
Or where? Yeah. So it's kind of our fault. We arrived a little late to the funeral. Like, we had to, do some stuff. And then we left. Madly got there. Drove, from Aldergrove to Burnaby to Fraser Heights. I think it's called Fraser View Cemetery.
Sure.
And maybe that's not what it's called. Anyway, something View Cemetery and Riverview. I don't know what it's called. I don't think it's Riverview. Anyway, went there. Go inside the building. We're here for Minnie Scott's funeral. Nope, not here. Say to these people who are like guarding the entrance to us. Oh, okay. Go down the thing. Oh, we're here for a funeral, Minnie Scott. Oh, that's outside. That's a half a mile down the street in the Linden section of the cemetery.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so just get in your car and drive down. So we're like, oh, okay. So we get in our car, drive down there. They've already started.
Nice. You know,
they're standing there. So
By the way, cell phones don't exist at this point, right?
Or my mom does not use her cell phone. She has a cell phone.
No, I understand.
She doesn't turn it on. Yeah.
So other people there would have had cell phones.
I didn't have their phone numbers. Okay. So then...
Your dad was there?
Yeah, he doesn't have a cell phone. My brother, I don't think he has one, but I don't know his number. Anyway, so I went to... we just walk up, kind of join in the middle of this. And... it's pretty much at that moment walking into it. I've always thought this, but I immediately knew that when I die, I'm going to have a very organized funeral.
Okay.
You know, or someone can do it for me, or I will choose before I die the hymns I want said, the readings I want done, how I want the service to go, everything. I don't want you and some other people, not you specifically, just the general personal you or impersonal you.
I don't think they would have gone with me with the decisions. Who's his podcast partner?
I just meant, let's ask him. He's obviously the trustee. I don't want a bunch of people who just decide to kind of show up at his place and then wing it.
Yep.
Because that's terrible. Because
sure.
Then it's like, does anyone have any memories of grandma? Dave, you just got here. Do you got anything to say? What have we said? Like, I don't even know what we've said it yet. So I don't know what you guys started without me. So I don't know. I don't want to repeat what you said. So that's okay. I'll just wait. Someone else say something.
By the way, I always think like whenever someone says that at a funeral, like, has he got any memories? I was just like, look, man, I know how to get a fucking suggestion from an audience. And this is not how. That's way too vague. So,
right.
Has anyone got any memory? She started off in the old country. Mm. She worked in the this.
Yeah.
What you got to do is you got to really lay it out. And just like, here are all the different things. She liked to vacation in Paris. She liked to do this. She loved spending time with her grandkids when she did this. You just give the hints.
You're winging it.
No, I'm not.
You're overthinking this.
I'm not winging it. What I'm saying is.
No, they're winging it.
Right. It's like you've got to give some trigger things so people go, oh, yeah, I remember when grandma did that. And that way, then you go like, yeah, I do have a memory because you've just brought up six things. And
you're fine with
that. She loved Christmas.
But you're a professional improviser. These are unprofessional improvisers who have put themselves in a situation where they've just gone, let's go with where the spirit takes us.
I've been to enough funerals
where
when I've heard that, here's the equivalent.
Sure.
It's like if you're in public, and like at a party, let's say a party, and you go like, anyone here know a joke? No one does. Because you can't ask like that. Anyone here have a treasured, precious memory it's a good story, with a good, strong beginning that builds, maybe twists, and will get us all crying?
We want a payoff,
a real good payoff at the end.
Yeah.
Has anyone got one of those anecdotes?
Yeah. Henry, got one? Henry, you don't have a story. What's wrong? You were Mr. Story.
Yeah, normally you have a good twist at the
Dickens.
End, O. Henry.
Dickens, you got a story? No? I can't believe it. What kind of party is this?
Dickens is over like at the buffet asking for some more. Yeah.
Beckett, you've got to... No, I'm not going to ask you, Beckett.
Beckett didn't even show up. Waiting for him.
We're still waiting for Beckett to come. Where's that guy? No, it was just this awkward like, I remember grandma, she took us fishing sometimes. It's kind of fun. And then, of course, you're...
That reminds me of her rambling stories.
Yes. But then your thing is, the go-to is funny stories. Because then you're like, well, let's at least be amusing because we're standing here. So I'm going to tell some amusing stories about Grandma. The thing is that she doesn't look so great in them. So they're not really like great memories. You know, like how about the time that we collected every pine cone in the neighborhood? Because we're going to have like a pine cone war when my mom and dad were in Hawaii and my grandma was looking after us. And we decided we took a wheelbarrow around and we collected every single pine cone we could find in a 2-block radius. Took them all back and dumped them in a gigantic pile in the backyard of my parents' house.
Yeah.
And then my grandma blew her shit. I never saw her so mad. And we're all like, why? It's just pine cones. Get those pine cones out of here. So we had to pile all the pine cones back into the wheelbarrow and then take them. And then we had to redistribute them into the yards because there's like no place we could put them, like a big pile of pine cones.
And then all of a sudden you're like Johnny Pinecone yes. Seed.
So we're like, I hope no one sees us throwing pine cones back into the yard. Oh my gosh. Oh, I got so much trouble. This story's like that, right? So, you know, but she didn't come off looking great. She got mad at us, you know, or telling stories about, you know, us going fishing. Like, she would take me fishing, and then she'd get mad at me because I would sing in the boat because I would get bored. So I would sing songs. So I remember I was singing, it's a song, Spinning Wheel?
Yeah.
Spinning
Wheel. What goes up yeah. must come
I would
down.
Sing that over and over again all day long in the sit in the boat, and she would get so mad at me for scaring the fish. The stuff like that. But, you know, like, cause it comes, it's sort of amusing, but it comes across bad, right? Like, you're trying to tell a story like, you know, grandma, da, da, da. You remember she made pasties for us whenever we came over there? We always got pasties.
You mean like to put on your nipples?
Well, we did the burlesque show at the house.
Grandma would kids. Force us to do some burlesque.
Oh, you know.
The full thing. Not just us. Stripping.
My cousins
and I. We had to do the
I.
jokes. I had to do a little ventriloquist act.
We did. That's right. Well, yeah, we had to do a full vaudeville.
Had to come on, do an ethnic thing.
Sure. My brother and I did a kind of an Abbott Costello thing.
Right. And then full strip. That's right. Striptease, right. But with the pasties on.
Mm-hmm. Who's in first grade? That was our bit. Yeah.
It's taught by who? That's right, Mr. Who. Who's teaching first? Who? All right, but Mr. Watt's teaching second. That's right.
Wait, who's on? Yeah. I don't know who's on third grade. Yeah, it was just weird. And then, I'll take a little bit of off the cuffness, you know.
Okay.
That's fine. Like, people want to talk and, talk amongst themselves.
Right.
That's
the funeral's going on. You're singing Spinning Wheel.
I'm singing Spinning Wheel.
Collecting pine
because
cones.
Because it's back to that time period. Yeah.
You're throwing pine cones
reliving,
into the grave.
I'm reliving these times.
How do you like the pine cones now?
Well, you know, you just want to reminisce. You know, we talked about her dog, Poncho, that, you know, we all liked as kids. And we talked about just stuff like that, right?
Sure.
Like the memories of grandma. But the thing is that our memories of grandma are us coming to the house, her working like a slave in the kitchen, mm-hmm. and that's what she wanted. You know, if you told her, mom, sit down, or grandma, can I help? No, get out, you know? So, you know, we'd take her binoculars and make pretend movies in the backyard. So one person would be the film cameraman with the binoculars and the other person would be the actors. Or we would try and walk as far as we could up Ocala's driveway, which was the prison in Burnaby, you know, the work farm.
Yeah.
We would try and walk up the driveway, then we get totally scared and run back down away from it. This stuff you do as kids, right?
Sure.
But all those memories have nothing to do with our grandma because she did not play with us or interact with us in that way. You know, she made food for us. We ate her food. Then she made us wash dishes. And then we would play pool downstairs or we would sit and watch television after. What World of Disney or whatever. That was,
right.
You know, but she wasn't. Like those memories are of our experiences of her.
Right.
But
we she really provided have a place for all this stuff
that's
to happen.
Right. That's
she was
right.
the reason this all happened.
That's right.
But she wasn't directly the person.
Yeah. Yeah. So your memories of her are these sort of around her sort of things.
Right.
And so we just tell her about her experiences. And then they're going to put the ashes in the ground. So they have an urn, which they inter. And then you have some ashes left over. Do you want to, so we could sprinkle, or no, sorry, sprinkle dirt onto the urn. So everyone decides they're going to do that. So my cousin goes. And she sprinkles some ashes on it. And then she walks away from the solemn moment while everyone's standing with their hands crossed. She goes, so, where are we eating lunch? Anyone, where do you guys want to go? Like, she's not even walked away from my grandma's urn. And she's asking about lunch. Like, how would all of us put dirt on the urn? Then we can wrangle over lunch. Mm-hmm. Like, this is so weird. It felt like no one cared, you know?
Don't you think
I was crying a little bit because I'm a baby.
Yeah.
And so I was tearing up, you know, doing that part of it.
Don't you think though?
And then the lunch thing comes up. You're like, well,
okay, but don't you think now there's a bit of me that's like, from what you're telling me about your grandmother,
yeah,
what would happen when you went to your grandmother's? She was like, you go there, mm-hmm. you're just kind of hanging out. It's yeah. kind of awkward. And then it's like, I'll make you a meal.
Yeah.
So it feels like she's like going like, okay, we're hanging. Grandma's here.
Yeah.
What are we eating? Yeah. I'm hungry.
I guess maybe that's
why
it.
Am I hungry? I'm hungry because I'm at grandma's.
It kicked
now,
in.
Now she wants me to leave her alone and have a lunch. That's what she wanted. This is grandma.
I don't think she really wanted to be alone, but she was an incredibly shy person.
Yeah.
And had a hard time expressing herself. And when we were young, you know, I don't think she knew how to she wasn't like a childish person or have a kid-like part to herself. So yeah. when we were older, she could relate to us.
When you're saying, though, the thing about like, you know, maybe she was shy and she, I wonder, though, like if you were a mom in the time where she was a mom, you weren't probably lovey-dovey with your kid.
No.
You were, I'm going to go to the kitchen.
Yeah.
I'm going to make dinner. You go play till the lights come on. It's street lights come on or whatever, right?
Yeah.
To your kids.
Yeah.
So now cut to... your kids have grown up. Your grandkids are over.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you guys going and doing your own business
yeah.
makes her feel young because, like, she does all the things she did when she was a mom. Like, it would be weird sure. to go, like, let's all sit and talk about our feelings. That's not what she felt like when
no,
she
no,
was
I don't,
a mom.
I don't even mean she didn't have to talk about feelings, but, you know, she didn't, you know, let's say we were on the floor playing with her play cars or whatever.
Right.
She wouldn't come over and pretend to play cars with us for a little bit and then go back to her, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, didn't have that
but
connection.
But she probably didn't do that with her daughter either.
I know. I'm quite certain she didn't. Because
yeah.
I know that the way my mom was brought up and the way my mom brought us up was to be workers, to be worker bees, you mm-hmm. know. And so we are all have this crazy work ethic that we always have to be working all the time. Otherwise, we're lazy.
But you broke that pattern and you got down on the carpet with your daughters and you played mm-hmm. the things.
Yeah.
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 So there you go. So you guys win.
That's right. I broke that pattern. I'm lazy. I don't work very much, but yeah, no, it was very. I walked away from it just thinking, "What a family! What a family!"
And yet, it's led to yours.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah,
but I mean, it led to mine in the sense that my decision was to be the opposite of that. Be that of the
fair
opposite
enough.
Of that family.
But everyone, okay, I don't want to say everyone feels that way, but I think people start off when they've got kids going, I'm not going to make the same mistakes my parents did.
Sure.
I'm going to do this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
Smash cut 2-3 days later, making the exact same mistakes your parents did.
Because
mm-hmm. that's what everyone does. Everyone
yeah.
everyone thinks, I'm never going to
no, I didn't do
yell.
That.
I'm going to be nothing but time for the kids.
I never said that. I never
no,
said
but
I'd really
I
yell.
Know parents that do.
Yeah.
Like, you've got all the things you're going to do when you're parents.
Yeah.
But then when the actual, you know, shit meets fan, literally, things change and you blah, blah, blah. But
yeah.
you have. I don't think you have changed and you've actually done the thing.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing. You know that, right, though? You kind of do. You don't know it.
Well,
you won't know it, but everyone else knows.
I wreck them in a different way, which
uh-huh.
is, you know, perfectly fine, because all parents, you know what Philip Larkin said, right?
What was that?
Parents, they fuck up their kids. That was the first line of a poem. I wish I could remember what the title of the poem was.
Oh, I thought it was like, they fuck and that's what gives kids. Isn't that what it is?
No.
Okay, well, they also do that.
Philip Larkin, the...
Fucking led to you.
The poet
might as well fuck you up at this point.
The friend of Kingsley Amis, poet from the 50s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta be a little messed up.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Exactly, you do.
Imagine if you had a perfect childhood.
It would be...
Oh, would life be so difficult after that? Because everything would never measure up. One,
no.
you'd never leave the house.
No.
Two, you'd always feel like, I must be screwing up, because clearly they had it so they didn't know what they were doing. I'm not as good as them. Ugh, I'm a failure.
Yeah.
You know, you want a little bit
no.
of a fuck up,
sure.
you know, to be able to branch out.
That's right.
Look, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You're a great dad, and you've got great kids.
My children will always have a cleaner house than us.
Good.
That will be their achievement.
Right, because by that point, they'll be nanites will just eat
I
the
doubt
filth.
It. I doubt it. Oh, that'd be good.
Yep.
I'd like, bring that on, please.
Absolutely. So, I'm going to throw a little family thing out here right now.
Sure, go ahead.
Is that okay? Is it possible for me to
oh,
do that?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hey, you know my sister, Dale.
Yes, I do.
She's a beautiful young woman.
Mm-hmm.
And as of this week, I also have a brother-in-law named Greg.
Oh.
The two of them got married.
How nice.
Yeah.
Were you there for the wedding, or did they go
no,
somewhere else?
No, we weren't. They eloped. They're going to have a reception later on this year.
Okay.
There was a little talk of what, to what, to boop, da ba ba da boo.
Sure.
But anyway, they decided to make it small, just them. They sent us pictures. It's beautiful.
Nice. Yeah.
He's one of the nicest guys. When I was telling you the story about my grandmother, when she was passing away, he showed up on a motorcycle with Dale, picked her up, took her, and, you know, he won me over that night with me.
Yeah.
He was such a great guy. And
yeah.
over the years, he's just so, he's great. It's
sure.
great when someone you love
you said
finds
he,
someone
wait, he's great or he's Greg?
He's great and he's Greg.
Oh, okay.
He's both
things. Okay.
That's right. He's both of the G's.
Just We'll have to make sure.
Absolutely. But anyways, she
Is he gray?
Is he gray?
Yeah.
No, he's got nice. He's
okay.
He's youthful.
Youthful. Okay.
He's Greg.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, mixed up.
Tender moment. ruined. What are we doing for lunch, Dave? I'm trying to announce my sister got married. Anyway. She's one of the best people in the world, and she's found one of the best people, and it's just yay good. When good things happen.
I'm glad
happen,
for that.
It's great. Super, and I love her, and
I'm super glad
being
for
a relative, she'll never listen to this podcast, but I'm going to throw that out there.
I love her, too. I've known her for a long time.
Yeah.
I knew her from when she was a little girl.
Yep.
Till now.
I know. I can remember her in her christening dress, just lying on the floor with the enormous, freakishly large dress. She's just a baby. She can't turn over. She's just trying to wiggle out of the dress. She can't do it. We have to take her in for christening. She's just crying. We come back. We all have salmon loaf.
Nice.
And I think we got sick afterwards from the salmon loaf, but she was adorable in the dress.
You had salmonella.
Maybe. Maybe that's where it comes from. But yeah, no, it's just really, really nice. That's all. I got nothing jokey to say about it except, you know, that's just beautiful.
And how nice. Dull. I told about my grandma's funeral. I made a ton of jokes.
Mm-hmm. You did.
What a jerk I am.
By the way, if you're listening to this on Saturday, you might still have time to hear more jokes about funerals and the like at Skinny Fat Jack's. That is in Vancouver.
Fat Jack's Chat and Chew.
That's right. Doors at 8, shows at 9. If you can't make it, it's going to be our 200th show, so you're going to listen to it when it comes on the air. So there you go. We'd love to hear from you. And how can people do that, Dave? It's your show.
Oh, it's my show. Well, you can always write us at SneakyDragon. .com, which is, we can write our email actually at sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Mm-hmm. You can go to our message board at sneakydragon.com, where you'll also find other things like title cards if you want to look at old title cards. You know what, guys? Here's the thing. We're coming up to another 50, so I'll be doing my regular roundup of 50 of the past title cards. And let me just say, I thought this last 50 was a pile of crap.
But looking back on
And then
them.
I look back at them and I say, hey, there were some good ones in this. Gee, even from the get-go, there was pretty good. So I don't know what I'm thinking about half the time.
I've been gathering them up on our Facebook page.
I know, I've been enjoying that. I can't like them because it would be real weird.
Yeah. But yeah, I put them together, like all the movie ones, all the TV ones.
Yeah.
I was going to do all the Bible ones. Haven't done that. I'll put all together, all the book ones and all the ones with gratuitous nudity.
Nice.
That's a surprising amount.
By the way, nudity is never gratuitous. And mostly it's us naked. That's the best part of it.
Oh, I know it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it.
Yeah, a lot. It makes me feel weird sitting across from you while you're thinking, like, I'm thinking of the title card.
I like us nude or injured. That's my two favorite things to draw, it says.
So basically, you're a serial killer.
I know. It says I like humiliation as a form of humor. I don't know what it is. I just like that. I just like the idea of like us shooting each other, you know, or something like that. It's just funny to me. Because it's not us. You know what I mean? It's not us as our persons either, but it's just fun to have fun with that.
This would be a good episode for people to analyze us.
Mm.
There's a lot of stuff in this one. This one is analysis-y.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also at...
All we've left of this show is a smoking pit.
That's right. Nice. We're also at
on Facebook?
_ Dragon on Twitter.
On Twitter and Facebook. We have a Facebook page as well where you can... As Ian said, he's posted a lot of stuff there, which it's kind of neat that there's so much material that you can post coming up towards the 200th episode as well. So those title cards had a purpose. They're not just like an endless project that I took on myself how many years ago now?
Like to do an art gallery show at some point with your stuff. So if you're in Vancouver and you know a good art gallery that we could do that at, let us know. We might do that.
What about that art gallery? It's a frame.
Wrap up the show.
Thanks everybody for listening and for paying attention even to the end with that little last minute dad joke that I threw out there. We appreciate you, and this is episode 197. For whatever reason, some kind of scheduling error, we're doing our 200th episode on Saturday. We will still fit in episodes 198 and 199 before we finish. So thanks very much for listening. Bye bye.
Sweet vagina.
Do, do,
ba,
do.
Ba, ba. Good times buried in the ground. Bum, bump, bump. The chairman's a woman. Bop, bop, bum. If you didn't think so, you're a sexist.